You're listening to episode 11 of A Little Bit of Python. This is a special episode recorded at PyCon Atlanta 2010 with Antoine Pitreux, a core CPython developer. If you have any comments, feedback or suggestions, you can email us at all@bitofpython.com. Hello, you're listening to A Little Bit of Python. This is Michael Ford. I'm sitting here in PyCon 2010 in Atlanta, pretty much in the aftermath of the conference. The final talks and the final lightning talks have recently finished, and I'm sat downstairs in a virtually empty hallway with Antoine Pitreux. Now, Antoine is one of the core CPython developers, but he's a name that my guess is that not a huge number of you will have heard of. One of the interesting things about this conversation is you get to see, certainly for the Python world, all these famous people. You get to sort of see Guido and chat to Guido. There's Alex Martelli wandering around, Raymond Hettinger, Brett Cannon, all of these folk who are sort of pretty well known in the Python world. But as is often the case, a lot of the work behind the scenes with developing Python is done by people who maybe don't sort of make themselves known quite so much. And Antoine is one of these guys. He's in the last year been one of the top three committers to core CPython. So it'll be interesting to hear from him. Hello, Antoine.
Hello, Michael.
So how did you first get into programming, first programming with Python, and then actually working on Python?
Okay. Well, I started programming with Python at the end of 2004 when I had a customer who wanted to hire me on a contract, and he wanted the project to be the software to be written in Python because it was a research project, and the researcher who had launched the project liked Python, basically. So I had to learn Python for a couple of weeks before starting that project, and I quickly fell in love with the language because it's quite an elegant language, quite simple syntactically, and very well designed and well conceptualized semantically. So this project was a project a peer-to-peer virtual world project, that is a virtual world system where there is no centralized storage of data. Each node in this peer-to-peer world has knowledge of its neighbors, and so the consistency of the world doesn't exist as a whole in a centralized place. It's just built incrementally. And so this project was written in Python with Twisted and WX widgets. And yes, this is how I started programming in Python. Since I had fallen in love with the language, I decided that not only my following projects should be done in Python, but that one day I will start contributing, or try to contribute to the language. So I started picking up some bugs on the tracker and proposing patches and so on.
So did you find it easy to get involved with actually developing Python?
Yes and no. Contributing patches is easy. Getting in the community is not so easy when you are not a fluent English speaker. There is quite a culture of restraint and politeness, which is not easy to get when you don't have the necessary vocabulary.
So you think Python programmers are restrained and polite?
I'm not sure if individually restrained and polite, but there's an atmosphere in the community which fosters this kind of attitude.
So that kind of made you feel like it was a bit hard to get in because you didn't want to go against the sort of community norms, as it were?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
That's interesting to hear.
Yeah.
So when did you actually get the commit rights to Python?
I got the commit rights nearly 2 years ago. I think it was almost at the beginning of summer 2008. That was, I'd say roughly 6 months after I started really contributing.
Wow, and what sort of things have you worked on?
Oh, I've worked on a range of things. I've worked quite a bit on Python 3, more than the 2.x branch. I've worked on, together with another French guy called Amaury Forgedarc, I rewrote the I.O. library of Python 3.0, which was written in pure Python. We wrote it in C, so that it...
So the big move from 3.0 to 3.1, a big part of that was about having the faster I.O. layer in C.
Yeah.
And you did a good chunk of that, did you?
Yes, I did a good chunk of that, yes.
Wow.
Wow. Yes, and I also worked on a new implementation of a global interpreter lock, which I didn't remove unless what most people would have hoped. But the goal was to fix some glaring inefficiencies in the implementation of this gear.
That was what came out of David Beasley did a talk on the Global Interpreter Lock when he yes. shows what happens when you have CPU-bound threads competing for the GIL on a multi-core processor. And
yes, yes, it was his talk which triggered me to get into this problem. At first, I had a mixed feeling about his talk because it looked some numbers looked really outrageous, and when you try to run them on the Linux, it was not so bad, but. And the
right, so it's particularly—it was particularly a problem for macOS, which is what Dave runs.
Yes, yes, and it was the benchmark he chose was clearly a worst-case benchmark for 2.x.
Right, right.
And it was a very pathological case, and it wasn't a realistic world case because it was just a spinning loop.
Right, right.
But on the other hand, it helped uncover a real problem, really. So. Right. I then wrote a custom benchmark called CC Bench, which is a concurrency benchmark, which. Helped me really assess the effects of the GIL on two different kinds of metrics, which are thread switching latency, when you have an IO thread which is running and which is waiting for packets. How long does it take when a packet arrives for the IO thread to wake up and get to process it? Another metric, which is throughput, that is when you run several CPU-bound threads. How much throughput do you get compared to one single thread? So my goal was to improve those two metrics.
Right, right.
And yeah.
And that code has gone into what will become Python 3.2.
Yes, yes, it has been committed now.
And that was the first time that the global interpreter lock code has been touched in many years, apparently.
Yeah, apparently. I hadn't looked at the logs to know exactly when it had been touched for the last time. It's true that the threading primitives inside the interpreter, which basically abstract the different threading libraries, are very old and rusty and archaic.
So do you think there's more work that could be gone into working on those?
Yes, definitely, yes. We have started deprecating some very, very old platforms like SGI, IRIX, these kind of things,
right.
Which will help us build some new primitives, some more sophisticated primitives.
Using constructs supported by more modern operating systems.
Yes, basically we will support only POSIX and Windows, and perhaps OS 2 if the maintainer, Andrew McIntyre, I think, gets to do a support.
Cool, wow. What about porting the new GIL back to Python 2? That sounds like that hasn't been done. Why hasn't that been done?
Well, I was interested in doing it in 3.x, first because we had to deprecate those threading APIs and declare that those platforms are not supported anymore, because I couldn't use just the primitives that we have in this threading abstraction because they are too crude to do something
right,
efficient.
Right. So supporting the old platforms was actively preventing you solving the problem?
Yes, yes. And besides, I wanted it to be a 3.2 feature because I think it's nice that 3.x has things that 2.x hasn't.
Right. Getting the community... wider community of Python, including the library authors and application authors, and giving them good reasons to see that Python 3 has a lot to offer, sounds
yes.
like a good thing.
Yes.
So what else is coming up in Python 3.2 that we should be interested in?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't have a list under my eyes, so I can't really tell you. For now, it doesn't have a lot of features.
It's still a while away. At the time we're recording this, who knows when people will actually be listening to it. But
yes.
Python 2.7 comes first, and then later in 2010, the idea is that 3.2 will
come
out.
With a moratorium, too, there's obviously less core language changes.
So, right. So more under the cover changes.
Yes, a lot of polishing, I think. Probably polishing the standard library, because there are still a bit some issues with things like Unicode byte separation in some modules, which have been a bit overlooked.
Right, right. The move to an all Unicode has a lot of API implications, which really need to be
yes.
worked through the standard library.
For example, the email module is said to be a bit broken in Python 3.x. And so
which module, sorry?
The email module.
So how have you found PyCon 2010? Is this your first
Yes, it's my
US
first PyCon, yes.
Have you enjoyed it?
Yes, it's quite pleasant to meet all these people which I had never met before for most of them. It's quite enjoyable. It's,
which talks have you been to? What sort of things have you particularly enjoyed?
Well, I've been to the girl talk, obviously. I had to see what he had to say about it and
about your
how
work.
Exactly he was talking about it. What I have seen, I have discovered Pyne, which is the Python implementation of a Parrot,
right,
which is directly targeting Python 3, which is a good thing. I think that's the two most interesting talks. The two talks which interested me.
What about on Laden Swallow? What are your thoughts about that and bringing C++ into the language?
I'm not opposed to C++. It's not the most elegant language, and it's obvious that, like many people, I would like for PyPy to succeed and perhaps one day become the reference implementation, but
right,
it seems
right.
to be quite far from now.
It was really interesting to see because PyPy has been around for many years, and when it first came out and they first talked about bringing a JIT into Python, there was a lot of excitement in the community.
Yes.
And then seemingly nothing happened for several years, but this year they've presented and they've actually shown sort of real world benchmarks, not just sort of trivial numeric benchmarks, you know, running sort of chunks of applications and where they're actually starting to show a speed improvement. So I think this year again the Python community is starting to get excited again about PyPy.
Yeah. That's the problem with projects who get very late. There are some psychological barriers because people are a bit bored.
Okay, it's been great to talk to you, Antoine. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Michael.